America could return to the moon by 2020, build several privately operated space stations, and redirect NASA's mission to the large-scale economic development of space. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We will continue to space out this hour as we talk with a guest about the direction the Trump administration is reportedly considering for the U.S. space program. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So how do you feel about returning to the moon by the end of President Trump's first term? Do you think that's a good idea? Do you support or oppose privatizing the International Space Station and other NASA-related responsibilities? Do you think that the U.S. Should have more of a push on space exploration, or do you think that money would be better spent in other ways? We welcome your thoughts as we talk about space under the Trump administration. Our guest is Jeff Faust, a senior staff writer for Space News, where he covers space policy, commercial space, and related topics. Good morning.
Good morning.
So judging from a piece that you wrote shortly after the election and some other stories that we found, President Trump seems to have some pretty big ideas for NASA. How would you describe his ambitions when it comes to NASA?
Well, I think the first thing to keep in mind when talking about this is that, you know, space in the grander scheme of things is a fairly low priority for this administration as well as previous presidential administrations. There are a lot bigger issues, obviously, that have been dominating the news in the last few weeks. Space is pretty far down the list of topics, but certainly it's something that the Trump administration will be getting to at some point in the coming weeks or months. And as some of the reports indicate, we may see possibly more of a commercial influence on the space program in the years ahead.
Yeah. So, what does that mean? A commercial influence?
Well, NASA has already been turning more to the commercial sector in the recent years to handle some of the more routine operations like launching satellites that previously used to be solely in NASA's domain. Under the Obama administration, NASA continued an effort to develop commercial cargo vehicles by two companies, one of them SpaceX, the other Orbital ATK, to transport cargo to and from the International Space Station, and also funded efforts by SpaceX and Boeing to develop spacecraft that will actually carry astronauts to and from the International Space Station, and those what are called commercial crew vehicles by Boeing and SpaceX are under development and should be ready for test flights within about the next year or so. So the question is then is what is the next step in handing over some of those more routine day-to-day operations to the private sector so that NASA can focus more on the cutting-edge science and exploration activities that are best suited to a government agency as opposed to a private corporation.
You reported that Trump's space policy advisor laid out 9 key aspects of the administration's space framework, and the number one is a commitment to global space leadership. Why is that so important to a President Trump?
Well, you know, global leadership, I think, is important to any president and any administration, and space is one of the more visible ways of demonstrating that, and that goes all the way back to the beginning of the space age in the late 50s and the early 60s when the United States was competing with the former Soviet Union. We had the space race to the moon in the 1960s. And since then, space has been a way to demonstrate the technological prowess and capability of a country, and we've done that in a number of ways with the space shuttle and the space station program, as well as exploration missions by robotic spacecraft to the far corners of the solar system. So I think, you know, we'd expect that the new administration to continue that in some way, whether they make changes to specific programs and how to carry out that goal is one of the things that we're going to be watching in the months ahead.
Yeah. Another aspect is to set a goal of human exploration of the solar system by the end of the century. What might that entail?
NASA's already embarked on an effort that they've been calling the Journey to Mars, and that has a sort of a long-term goal of sending humans to Mars and landing on Mars probably no earlier than sometime in the 2030s. The actual schedule will obviously depend on the budgets that are available to NASA and the technological challenges that are involved with sending humans to Mars, but that has been really the driving long-term goal of the human spaceflight program at NASA for quite some time. What that policy laid out was to suggest that Mars isn't the end-all and be-all of human spaceflight, that there may be opportunities to further explore the solar system with people after going to Mars at some point, obviously in the far future, well beyond the 2030s or 2040s, and that NASA's programs, for example, the technologies required for deep space propulsion and life support and such, be driven not to support just missions to Mars, but anything that might go beyond that.
Yeah. So what is this about possibly returning to the moon by the end of President Trump's first term?
That is a policy that's come out in recent days in the news, and it's probably worth noting that that is not an official administration policy at this point. This was actually advice provided to the administration by a couple of advisors, one of whom had served on the transition team that worked with the administration between the election and the president's inauguration. That would potentially involve commercial systems to carry astronauts to the moon, putting robotic landers on the surface of the moon, efforts like that. That is just one proposal, and it's not necessarily the direction the administration will go. We don't know what the administration wants to do in space and whether they will accept that proposal or go off in a different direction, perhaps continuing some of the ongoing programs that NASA has that could be used for lunar missions at some point, but also for missions to asteroids and to Mars. So I would be careful about reading too much into those particular reports, because the administration has not weighed in yet on whether it wants to do a return to the moon by 2020 or at any point in its first or second term.
We are talking with Jeff Faust, a senior staff writer for Space News, where he covers space policy, commercial space, and related topics. We are talking with him about NASA and space travel under a Trump administration. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming any views you might have on this. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So what do you want to see the U.S. accomplish when it comes to space exploration, if anything at all? Guy on Facebook writes, hopefully NASA gets out of the global warming business and then they can start launching our own men into space rather than the Russians. All right, well, let me ask you a little bit about that, Jeff. There is, that's also in the news to some extent. Apparently, The Trump administration is talking about shifting away from climate change research with NASA and sending that over to OSHA, I believe. How big of a deal is that?
That's something that came up in the policy that was that came out prior to the president's election, suggesting that NASA's Earth Science programs, which account for about 10% of the agency's budget, be moved to other agencies such as NOAA, which handles weather satellites, or other agencies that do Earth Science work. It's not clear if that would go forward or whether Congress would actually be on board. I heard earlier this week from a member of Congress who chairs the Appropriations Subcommittee that funds NASA, John Culberson of Texas, and he suggests that NASA's Earth Science program is important and that it should be continued. Obviously, he, like many Republicans in the House, aren't big advocates of climate change research, at least what's being done right now, maybe even skeptical that climate change or at least human-induced climate change exists. But it's worth noting that Earth science is really just a small part of NASA's overall program. It's a small part even of its overall science program, which includes astronomy missions, planetary science missions, and missions to study the sun, as well as Earth science. So it's just a small part of the broader initiative, but certainly it's going to be one that will see increased scrutiny under the new administration.
Yeah. Guy's comment says, we can launch our own astronauts into space rather than the Russians. We have U.S. astronauts going into space, don't we?
We have astronauts in space right now on the International Space Station. We have two American astronauts, three Russian cosmonauts, and a European astronaut up there right now. For the time being, we're using a Russian spacecraft called the Soyuz to get those people to and from the space station. And that's been the case since the end of the shuttle program in 2011. That was a deliberate decision that actually goes all the way back to the Bush administration when they made the decision in 2004 to eventually retire the shuttle. What's going on to end that reliance on the Russian vehicle is that commercial crew program that I mentioned. SpaceX is developing a spacecraft called the Dragon. Boeing is developing one called Starliner. Those will be undergoing test flights starting late this year through the middle of next year, at which point, if everything goes as planned, they will be ready to take over duty of carrying those astronauts to and from the space station. Meanwhile, NASA is developing its own next-generation spacecraft called Orion that will launch on a new rocket called the Space Launch System, and that's designed for missions beyond Earth orbit, missions to the moon, missions elsewhere in near-Earth space, and eventually missions to Mars. That will be the mission that Orion will carry out, and the commercial vehicles will carry out the more routine transportation of astronauts to and from the space station.
Let's take a call from Tom in Spencer. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning to your guests. I have a question about what NASA plans this year in terms of testing the new rocket engine. I understand that's supposed to be even bigger than the Saturn engine. And also what they've done to modify the capsule for astronauts. I believe that instead of three people that went to Mars, this would have four people. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, it's a great question. The Space Launch System is that new heavy-lift rocket that NASA is developing. Its first launch is scheduled for late 2018, and that'll be a test flight. There won't be a crew on board. The first mission with a crew on board will probably be around 2021 or so, depending on the development schedules. But eventually, the Space Launch System is designed to be as big or even bigger than the Saturn V missions used for the Apollo lunar landing flights back in the 1960s and early 1970s. It's going to be carrying the Orion spacecraft. The Orion will be able to carry probably about four people, but it's just going to be part of a broader, larger spacecraft that will be used for those Mars missions. You don't want to fly all the way to Mars and back. It's about 6 months each way in a tiny little capsule. So there will be additional habitation modules attached to that, so you've got some room, living space like you do on the space station. That's all part of the plans that NASA is developing over the next few years. There are proposals to start testing some of these habitation modules in what's known as cislunar space, which is the space between the Earth and the Moon, starting in the 2020s. Start testing out those technologies. NASA calls that cislunar space the proving ground. It's the place where you can test out some of the technologies you want to use for a human mission to Mars, but do so in a place that if something happens, something goes wrong, you can get back to Earth within a few days at most, whereas if you're going to Mars, you're heading out on a mission that's going to last a few years. So you want to be sure that everything is properly tested and verified to work as planned before you embark on a multi-year mission like that. So there's going to be a lot of testing activities taking place in the next year and a half leading up to that first Space Launch System test launch in late 2018.
Thanks, Tom, for the call. Kim asks, what is the advantage of doing something that we've already done, meaning send astronauts to the moon, a return to the moon?
Yeah, we've sent, obviously, astronauts to the moon. 12 people walked on the moon between 1969 and 1972. It would be a lot like saying, though, that, you know, you've completely explored Wisconsin after visiting Madison and Milwaukee. There's a lot more of the state to see. There's a lot more of the moon to see. And there's a lot more to both understand and also to understand what sort of resources that are available on the moon that could benefit future space exploration. We've learned since the Apollo program that there's likely water ice hidden in the poles. In the craters and the poles where the sun is doesn't shine, it's permanently shadowed, it's very cold, so it's a good place to keep ice stored. That ice could be used for water for astronauts, could also be turned into rocket fuel for missions. You want to explore that and better understand those resources. That could make it a lot more affordable to do some of the long-term space exploration we're talking about, like missions to Mars. So there's a lot more to be learned from a scientific standpoint and a resource standpoint by going back to the moon, and that's why a lot of people have advocated doing additional missions to the moon, both robotic spacecraft and eventually with people.
Yeah, and we touched on it just a bit ago, but story in Politico that said that the administration is considering returning to the moon in the next 3 years. You're saying that how much of a chance do you think there is that that would actually happen?
Yeah, it's one proposal that's been submitted to the administration, but it certainly does not yet represent the administration's plans for NASA for the future. They may end up pursuing something like that. They may end up pursuing something very different. I think it's important to realize that the reports are reports on a proposal, not on an actual administration policy.
Yeah. How different is President Trump's vision for space exploration and NASA than President Obama's?
Well, you know, during the campaign, candidate Trump did not say a lot about space, and obviously that's not surprising. Space is not a big issue in any presidential campaign in recent memory. So he didn't talk a lot about what he would envision space. Obviously, I think any president wants the space program to be a global leader. There's some question about how strongly he supports human missions to Mars. He had suggested in some town halls early in the campaign that money might be better spent on infrastructure, on filling potholes rather than going to Mars. But president's views change over time as they get better acquainted with policies and programs. So I would not necessarily assume that the president would be opposed to human missions to Mars simply based on a soundbite from a campaign stop a year and a half ago. So it's again an issue that it's going to take some time for the administration to think about and make a position on, because space is a fairly low priority compared to everything else that's going on in Washington these days.
We are talking about what NASA might accomplish under the Trump administration, and we're welcoming your questions for our guest, who is a senior staff writer for Space News, Jeff Faust. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We are talking about space during this hour. We started the hour talking about some space events that are going on with the lunar eclipse tonight, the full moon, the comet that we can barely see, apparently, and that meteor that graced the skies in Wisconsin earlier this week. And we thought we'd keep the theme going and talk with a guest about what we might expect with space exploration and space policy under the Trump administration. And we were wondering what you think, what questions you have, what do you want to see NASA accomplish under the Trump administration? What about this report that says that the administration is being advised anyway to return to the moon in the next 3 years? Do you think that would be a good idea or not? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Do you support or oppose privatizing the International Space Station or other NASA-related responsibilities? facilities. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We also welcome other questions and views you might have for our guest, Jeff Faust, a senior staff writer for Space News, where he covers space policy, commercial space, and related topics. Before we get back to space policy, I was reminded that we didn't have a lot of time to talk earlier about the lunar or the solar eclipse that's coming up this summer on August 21st. Jeff, our guest told us that people are booking up hotel rooms now all over the route of this eclipse. There's great excitement for this. Are you aware of this?
Oh yeah, there's tremendous excitement about that, and I think in a lot of places you're probably too late trying to get a hotel room in some of the better viewing spots where it's more likely the skies are going to be clear. But it's going to stretch across the country from Oregon all the way through South Carolina. So probably from Wisconsin, the closest points are going to be in Missouri and Nebraska, where it passes across those states.
Yep.
On August 21st, it's the first time in I think about a century that there's been a solar eclipse that stretched entirely across the U.S. There have been some that have clipped little parts of the country, but this is going to be a tremendous spectacle, and I suspect that millions of people are going to be hitting the roads on the 21st and thereabouts, trying to find the best place along the path of totality to see an event like this.
I'm sorry that all the hotels are booked. Well, I'll camp out. How's that?
We'll see.
I'll stay in my car. No, but yeah, there is a lot of excitement over that. So you check into it. Maybe you can still get a spot somewhere in that's not a prime spot, but is nearby. So let's talk a little bit more about. We had David who called in, but he couldn't stay with us, and he wanted to know. And this is there any development or thought about developing a space elevator? I don't even know what that is. What does it mean?
Yeah, a space elevator is a concept that's been around for a long time. It's actually started in science fiction. It would basically be an elevator. It would be a cable that ran from the surface of the Earth out into space. And instead of taking a rocket to go into space, you would hop onto this elevator, riding this cable, and ride up the elevator into space. Now, as you might expect, there are a lot of little technical details involved with developing a space elevator, like coming up with a material that would actually be strong enough to run out for tens of thousands of miles into space in order for this elevator to work. That's why the elevator hasn't been built, because there isn't any material anywhere near as strong as what you would need for an elevator like that. It's something that people sort of looking at and sort of the little fringes of space research in terms of materials development and some of the other issues associated with that. It would have the potential, if one existed, to drastically lower the cost of getting into space. It costs thousands of dollars a pound right now to put something into Earth orbit. But we're not going to have a space elevator anytime for the foreseeable future, simply because of the tremendous technical challenges associated with that.
Yeah. Well, President Trump was sworn in 3 weeks ago today. Boy, he's been busy. has there been any significant changes at NASA so far under this administration?
No, there haven't. It's actually been NASA's been continuing the programs that they have. They have an acting administrator right now. The previous administrator, Charles Bolden, left at the end of the Obama administration 3 weeks ago. They have an acting administrator who is actually the title of associate administrator, the number three person in the agency, who's guiding the agency on an acting basis right now. And it's pretty much business as usual at NASA. There hasn't been a lot of controversy, unlike at some agencies, about changes in direction. NASA's continuing with its programs. They're operating the space station. They're working on some of these exploration programs that we've talked about. They've got a large number of science missions in development and operation at Earth and throughout the solar system. It's pretty much business as usual right now, and there's no immediate sign that there's going to be any significant changes anytime soon.
Okay, so when we're hearing about the rogue scientists who are squirreling away information and archiving climate change information and worried about the administration's policies when it comes to that, that's not going on at NASA?
That's not going on at NASA. I know people are concerned at other agencies, notably the Environmental Protection Agency, mm-hmm. about changes that the new administration is making or threatening to make. But we haven't seen anything like that at NASA in terms of any effort by the administration to change NASA's Earth Science programs or really any other major program that's going on at the agency right now.
Any idea if NASA is shaping up to get a boost when President Trump rolls out his first budget proposal later this year?
That's going to be literally the $19 billion question, because that's the size of NASA's current budget, about $19 billion. It's a little less than 0.5% of the overall federal budget. People tend to think NASA gets a lot more of the federal budget than it actually does, simply because it's very public in what it does with the money that it does receive. I don't know, and I think a lot of people are waiting anxiously to see if there will be major changes in NASA's budget. I suspect immediately there may not be major changes. One of the questions is going to be is how are some of the other initiatives that the administration is planning, like investment in infrastructure, going to affect other agencies, because you're going to have a lot of people in Congress who are concerned about the size of budget deficits and the growing national debt, who will want to try and offset the cost of any new initiatives elsewhere in the federal budget. And one thing to keep in mind is always, regardless of administrations, that the president puts out a budget request, but it's Congress that ultimately shapes that request and often makes significant changes to that request in the final budget bills that they do eventually produce.
Yeah. So do we have a NASA-friendly Congress?
NASA's got a number of supporters in Congress. I mentioned earlier John Culberson of Texas. He's the head of the Appropriations Subcommittee that drafts the budget bill that includes NASA. He's a big proponent of the agency. So he's supported a number of these exploration initiatives, some of the science programs, and so on. So he's certainly going to be an advocate for NASA when they work on the future budget bills. But, of course, you're competing with all these other interests out there. NASA is included in a budget bill that also funds the Commerce Department and its various programs like NOAA. It also funds the Justice Department, the FBI. It funds agencies like the National Science Foundation. So you've got a lot of competition even within that small part of the overall federal budget for funding. So it's always an interesting debate to see how those various interests play out and what priorities they choose to fund in the development of those budgets. And that will be also true when the Trump administration comes out with its budget.
We touched on it a little bit earlier, but Trump also wants to start discussions about including more private and public partners in operating and financing the International Space Station. What might this look like?
Right now the International Space Station is a partnership of NASA and several other space agencies from Russia, Europe, Japan, and Canada. And they've all committed to continue operating the space station until 2024. What happens after 2024 remains to be seen, but one possibility is that you could see more commercial interests come in and help support some of the station's operations. And lessen the burden on NASA and the other government space agencies operating the space station. NASA's already been looking at opportunities to add a commercial module to the space station that could be developed and paid for by a private company. There are several private companies that are interested in doing so. They were already looking at that last year before the new administration took office, and I suspect that's going to get renewed attention in this Congress and this administration in terms of finding a way to add a commercial module, maybe multiple commercial modules, depending on how things work out, and gradually transition the space station from a government-led effort to more of a partnership with the private sector, and perhaps at some point having the private sector either take over the space station or operate its own commercial space stations that could then be used, leased to NASA, leased to private interests, anyone who wants to do research or carry out other activities in low Earth orbit.
Yeah, in our final minute, is there a particular space policy story that you're keeping your eye on as the Trump administration moves ahead?
Well, certainly we're going to keep an eye on what changes they make to or want to make to the human spaceflight program. Will NASA continue on its plans, long-term plans, for human missions to Mars, or will we see a redirection back towards the moon? And if so, what big of a role will commercial partners play in that effort? I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity there for some changes, certainly debate about those changes, and that's something that we're going to be watching over the coming weeks and months and even years as that new policy unfolds.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Jeff Faust is a senior staff writer for Space News, where he covers a space policy, commercial space, and related topics. And earlier in the hour, we talked with a guest from Wausau, Chris Janssen, the director of the planetarium for the Wausau School District. So thanks to both of our guests. Thanks to you for listening. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks as well to Brianne Chasso for on-air production. And thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. It's our Week in Review coming up next. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.